Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. A journey that has taken us, Roger, on Fridays for a couple of weeks here in the latter part of July, into this fascinating topic of angels. We had part one of this little three-part series last Friday, where we looked at just some basic overviews. If you missed that introductory episode, it would definitely be worth going back and listening to it before today's part two. But if you listened to that, you know, of course, Scripture is very straightforward in presenting to us the existence of angels. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, pictures thousands upon thousands, myriads upon myriads of angels surrounding the throne of God in heaven. We know, we referenced last Friday, Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. I think, Roger, we're going to talk even more next Friday, maybe a little bit about Hebrews 1, verse 14, where angels are described as ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit eternal salvation. Angels are real. They are created beings. They serve at the will of God. But that leads us on this Friday to this interesting idea that many in our culture, many for a long time, have had about the idea of guardian angels. I've got a guardian angel. You've got a guardian angel. Many think, where did that come from? What should we do with that?
You know, that concept is, it's just filled in books and movies and TV shows, and it's just so popular that people just assume that's true. And what we're doing in this series, of course, is looking at our Bibles and seeing what's so. Now, just historically, in the third century, the writer Origen said, each of us, even to the least who are in the church of God, has a good angel, an angel of the Lord who guides, warns, and governs. And that's going to be some thoughts we're going to talk about here just a little bit later on. Now, a little bit after that, Jerome wrote, he said, he declared that the worth of a soul is so great that from birth, each one has an angel assigned to him for his protection. And that concept has kind of been incorporated in different faiths today, where they even celebrate the concept of a guardian angel. And so what we want to look at is just, what does the Bible teach about this subject?
Yeah, I mean, those, what you just shared, those are authors, theologians, scholars that lived a long, 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 long time ago. And all the way up to today, you know, you might see sometimes comically depicted on the shoulders of someone who's trying to make some sort of a decision. I've got a good angel sitting up on my right shoulder and a bad angel on my left shoulder. And what are we to think of all of this? That's what we want to explore. I want to take you back to the Gospel of Matthew 18, because I think if there's any passage in the Bible that might get people thinking in this direction, it's from the words of Jesus. And I've got a little bit of reading to do, but the context, I think, will be very helpful. And then, Roger, I want you to help us think through this. But in Matthew 18, verse 1, Matthew records for us, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe, Jesus says, to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, somebody reads that and they hear Jesus, and obviously in these few verses, Jesus is highlighting childlike faith, childlike humility, and then in this warning of verse 10, he says, I tell you that in heaven, their angels, these little ones that he has just referenced in verse 10, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So, Roger, how am I to think about this on an ordinary Friday in 2021?
It sure makes me think that an angel's sitting there on the hood of my car, doesn't it? I mean, he's just watching me. Now, a couple things before we leave this Matthew passage that we need to notice. It began in verse 1 with the disciples fussing about who's the greatest. It ends by Jesus talking about the least, the little ones. And so in the apostles' desire to be on top of the mountain, the greatest, Jesus has reminded them, don't despise, don't look down on the little ones. And their salvation is just as important. And so he would say that as he ended this context in verse 11, the Son of Man has come to seek and save which is lost, emphasizing that they have angels. And they are something that's approved by God. Now, just some things to keep in mind as we kind of just run through some simple bullet points here about the idea of guardian angels. First of all, if an angel keeps us from sin, let's say after this podcast, I just get disgusted and I want to go over to a bar. And I got my hand on the door, but my angel has his hand against it and won't let me open it. Okay? He's keeping me from doing wrong. Well, what that means is then I'm not responsible for my life. I'm not at the steering wheel anymore. Someone else is. And so how can I be judged by my choices, my attitude, my decisions, if my angel is keeping me or pushing me to things I don't want to do? Suppose it's Sunday morning and I just don't feel like getting up and going to worship. But there's my angel. He's pulling me out of bed, pushing me to go. He's making me do things against my will. And that's just contrary to what we know in scriptures. We are responsible. We are responsible for our thoughts, our words, our actions, our choices. And, you know, years ago, the old Flip Wilson concept, the devil made me do it. He can tempt you, but he doesn't make you do it. Nor do angels prevent you from doing wrong. That's something, again, we got to keep before us as we think about this.
We read about great men and women of faith all over the Bible who every single one of them made the choice to obey or disobey. Now, that does not negate the existence of angels, obviously, but everyone who has ever lived has free will.
And you know, just add to this, if indeed this concept that each of us at birth has a guardian angel personally, he's keeping us from doing wrong, how then could Paul say in the book of Romans that all have sinned? Either those angels aren't doing their job, or maybe we've misunderstood that concept. And I think that's really where it's at. Secondly, as we think about this concept, God never promised to shelter his people from trouble. I mean, all through the Bible, particularly in Hebrews chapter 11, every one of those people suffered. I mean, where were the angels when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to that fiery furnace? Why didn't he prevent that from even happening? Why didn't he prevent Daniel from going to the lion's den? Yes, God rescued them, but why did they even go there? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, verse 16, rather, that we are to rejoice as a Christian if we suffer. Well, why are we suffering if I have an angel who's supposed to protect me? We read about the disciples going through all kinds of storms. We read about the disciples being sick. We read about the apostle James being struck by a sword and dying. In the book of 2 Timothy, it would say in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we have that faith in God, then we will be persecuted. That's what the Bible says. So troubles come, and sometimes it's out of trials and troubles we learn things that we don't learn anywhere else.
Yeah, you mentioned briefly that example of James. You know, Acts chapter 12 is a fascinating, in some ways a heartbreaking section of Scripture to read, because we've got James, the brother of John, who is killed by Herod with a sword, and Peter is being held in prison when Herod is about to bring him out on that very night. Here is Peter sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and what happens? An angel of the Lord stands next to him. There's a light that shines in the cell, and Peter is miraculously set free here. Now, it would be really easy, perhaps in that setting, maybe even a relative or a brother or sister in Christ, to think, well, if an angel sets Peter free, why didn't an angel save James? Was there something wrong with James? Did James do something wrong? And never in Scripture do we ever find the idea that, okay, as long as I behave myself, as long as I do what's right, an angel is always going to make everything go well for me. James lost his life. Now, he went on to his reward. The Lord saw fit to send an angel to set Peter free in that moment. But to your point, even all the way to today, so important for us to realize we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is groaning under the weight of sin. And just because difficult, heartbreaking things happen in my life doesn't, number one, negate the existence of angels, doesn't necessarily mean that I am outside of the will of God.
And then another concept, you know, in that Matthew passage that you read a while ago, Matthew chapter 18, it would say in verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me. And then when we get to verse 10 about those little ones have their angels. Are we to assume then that only those who believe in Jesus have an angel? Those who do not, do not. That makes God kind of a respecter of persons. We notice the gospel was taken to every person. Go into all the world and preach to every single person. The grace of Jesus was for every single person, not just to Israel, not just to Americans, but to everyone. And so to think, okay, here's this little protective bubble among those who are Christians. Those who are not, you're left to yourself. That's really out of the scope of what the Bible teaches about God. That God does not operate that way. He sends the rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He blesses the wicked as well as the righteous. And so, again, that concept is just contrary to what we think about in the Bible. Another thought, you know, when we read about angels and their encounters with people in the Bible, whether it's Daniel in the lion's den or other occasions, it seems like the people knew that they were sent by God. The people seem to recognize that by and large. And again, when we read the websites today, we hear the stories of what people are talking about. They're talking about miracles today. They're talking about how they were saved from death. They were all these events. And it's just contrary to what we read about in the Bible when people encountered these kind of things. And again, it just makes us wonder about those things. Now, this Matthew passage also has an interesting thought to us, because in verse 10 that was read to us, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who's in heaven. Now, if that's my guardian angel, he's looking the wrong direction. I mean, he's looking at God. I need him looking at me. God's okay. God's perfect. God doesn't need an angel. I need some help. And so, again, if this that concept that the angels are protecting us, they're watching us, they're guarding us, according to this passage, it's the wrong direction. He's not looking toward us. He's looking toward God. Never has God promised an anytime, anywhere, anyplace angel insurance. That idea that you know, all I have to do is call upon my angel and something happens. We think about that Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And there's that bumbling Clarence, and he's sent from heaven to rescue somebody, and just the calamities that they go through in that story. And what happens is, and this is what we're seeing today more and more with folks who believe in this, they put their trust, their confidence, their hope, and their faith in angels, not in God. They pray to their angels, not to God. And so what happens is this concept of guardian angel soon replaces God. And that is something, again, that's never talked about in the Bible.
Yeah, I think when you touch on the idea of authority, I'm afraid, well, I know from reading, listening to various stories that have been told, some present this as a license to go beyond what God has said, negate what God has said. You know, I know what is in the Bible. Roger, you and I are talking a little bit about that in our Sunday evening chair series here. I know the Bible says, but... And there have been people throughout the ages, some who have started entire religious systems based on, I know the Bible says, but an angel has shown me something, an angel told me something. It ought to remind us of one of the verses we touched on just briefly last Friday from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, where Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Listen to this 8th verse. But even if we or an angel from heaven... Angels are real. Angels are created beings. Angels come from heaven. They are ministering spirits sent by God. But Paul says, even if an angel himself comes and preaches to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, Paul and the apostles, let him be accursed. We need to be really careful that we hold God and his authority as expressed in his word as the greatest, most defining authority of all.
And so, you know, when we look at the totality of scriptures, angels are not prayed to, angels are not worshiped, God is. But now, we're not saying, on the other hand, we're left to ourselves. And we'll talk about this next week as we continue our series about angels. Angels are sent by God to help God's people. I think lots of times we don't even know when that is. You know, it doesn't appear that way, that each person is assigned a specific angel. That's the idea of the guardian angel. I have a specific angel. Jason has a specific angel. His is not mine. Mine's not his. And my angel is only, his only business is taking care of Roger. Jason's angel's only business thing. I don't see that concept in scripture. I don't think this passage in Matthew's teaching that. I think what I'm saying is, even the least in the kingdom of God, God sends angels to help them. And we'll talk about this a little bit more next week, how God sends angels and what they do for us. But to say that, you know, my hope, my salvation, I can get through today. I don't even have to worry about things. I don't even have to put my seatbelt on when I drive. Why? Because I got my guardian angel. My guardian angel is beside me, and he's not going to let anything bad happen to me. Well, that just flies in the face of a lot of verses. That's almost tempting and testing God, because bad things will happen. And if we're careless, a lot more bad things are going to happen to us. And so we need to realize that God sends angels not just to get me through the day. The purpose of all of this is to fulfill the will of God. what God wants more than anything else, more than money in our pocket, joy in our hearts. God wants us to be walking righteously with Him and to be heaven bound. And if it takes a prodigal looking at pig food to wake us up, God may allow that just to get us back where we need to be. And so we need to be very, very careful about this idea that my angel's my protection, my angel's my hope, my angel's going to get me through this day. No, it's my God who's going to do those things. It's my God who's my help. And the book of Psalms, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. That's the idea we need to see.
Yeah, I would just leave you. I'd encourage all of our listeners, if you've got the opportunity, when you're done with this episode of the Heavenbound podcast, spend just a moment in prayer. Because while we've spent a little bit of time exploring what is popular in culture, not necessarily in the Bible, the Bible does just so very straightforwardly tell us in passages like 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. What an amazing, amazing assurance that is. Roger, this is a challenging topic, but I appreciate you joining me today and helping us think through these things. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heavenbound podcast. As Roger mentioned, we'll have one more episode in this little series, Lord willing, next Friday. But we hope that this episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.